Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter number 2. The book of Ephesians. If you don't have a Bible, use the pew Bible there in front of you. And go to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2 tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. All right, let's look in our handout to start with at a verse that I have up at the top. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So that's a great verse. The word "rightly dividing," it literally means to cut straight. That's what that means. And so the Bible says we have to rightly divide. We have to make proper distinctions. We have to cut straight the word of God. Now in your handout, it says that there are divisions. Rightly dividing. There are divisions in the Bible that must be distinguished. If you do not recognize these divisions, you cannot be an approved workman. Okay? Now, let me say this to you. There are many people out there in the world today. You know some maybe at work or maybe you've been in a church. But there are people out there who are workmen. All right? They study the Bible diligently. And they may study the Bible diligently and they may be very sincere. But here's what I want you to get tonight. The issue is not sincerity. And the issue is not the amount of time invested in Bible study, although those are both very important. Okay, sincerity and spending a whole lot of time in the Bible doesn't make you an approved workman, according to verse 15. Okay, so just because a person is sincere, just because they have a radio program, just because they have television time they've bought, okay, just because they have a magazine they send out, just because somebody may spend a lot of time and invest a lot of time in studying their Bible, and just because somebody can spout Scripture, and just because somebody may be sincere, those aren't the issues, okay, that make you an approved workman. Now, according to the verse at the top of your handout, what makes us an approved workman? What makes us an approved workman? It's when we not just study, but when we what? When we rightly divide the word of truth. You cannot be an approved workman, okay, unless you're rightly dividing the word and your teaching is sound, okay? So there's a lot of people that are sincere, but of course we know that you can be sincerely wrong, okay? We know that there are people who may be sincere and well-meaning, and they spend time in the Bible, but yet they don't have a clue how to rightly divide the Word of God, so they end up, okay, teaching false doctrine. Now, we saw some of this Sunday night if you were here. You may be here tonight, and you may say, okay, well, how do I learn, Pastor, to rightly divide God's Word and make the proper distinctions in God's Word? How do I cut it straight? As that phrase means, rightly divide. How do I cut the Bible straight? How do I make those distinctions? Well, the good news is the Bible not only commands you to do it, but then it shows you how to do it. And there's a simple threefold division that the Apostle Paul gives us here in Ephesians 2 that I want to go over with you tonight. And this is going to help you to rightly divide the Scripture. Now, these three things I'm going to give you, they are not the only divisions in the Bible. But these three divisions are going to give us a panoramic view of God's dealings with mankind and how it's laid out in your Bible. Now, some of these things I went over with you a little bit when we went through Titus, but I want to go a little bit deeper tonight, and I want to get into many things that I never even had a chance to get into when we kind of hit it real quick in the book of Titus when we went through. But the outline is right here. I want to show you the threefold outline. Look at Ephesians 2. And notice verse 11, "Wherefore, remember," he tells these Christians, these believers. He says, "Remember that you being in," and what's the next two words? Time past. Okay? So that's the first thing that we need to look at. The first division is time past. But now, look with me at verse 13. What are the first two words? But now. So you got time past. Then he says, but now. Present tense, and then look down with me at verse 7. It says that in the what, church? Ages to come. So there's a threefold division. Number one, say it with me, was what? Time passed. Then there's but now. Then there is ages to come. So there's a threefold division there. And listen, your Bible is laid out according to that threefold division. And we're going to see that as we go on. But according to the Bible, what is time past? How do we know we're in? How do we know when we're reading the Bible that we're in time past and we're not in the present day, the age of grace, the church age, if you will? How do we know that we're in time past when we're reading in the Bible and we're not in present day time of grace? How do we distinguish that? Well, there is, in your handout there, it says there's one major unmistakable characteristic of time past. And that is this: God made a distinction in time past between the circumcision, that's the nation of Israel, and the uncircumcision, the Gentile nations. There was a clear distinction. There was a line drawn between those two. Let's read verse 11 and you'll see it. Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past," what? "Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of..." So who's the circumcision there? It's Israel. "You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." You say, "Pastor, what's this thing about the circumcision and calling Israel the nation of Israel?" Now, in the Old Testament, in time past, Israel, they were God's people. That was God's favored nation. And Israel was referred to as the circumcision. Why? Take your Bible, keep your bookmarker here, and I'm going to show you. Go to the first book of your Bible. Go to Genesis 17. Let me show you where this all started. Genesis 17. We're going to learn a lot tonight. Okay? Hopefully it won't be information overload, but we're going to learn a lot. Genesis 17. Look at it with me. Genesis 17, and let's read about this. Verse 6. God says to Abraham, "And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be" what, church? "Circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed, he that is born in thy house, and he that's bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant." So circumcision, we know now, was a sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham. This covenant promised that from Abraham was going to come a great nation in the earth. Can anybody tell me what great nation came forth out of Abraham? The nation of Israel. That's right. And God was going to give to the nation of Israel the Canaan land as an everlasting possession. We know it as Israel today. God was going to give them that land area as an everlasting possession. So you know what God did? God made a distinction between Israel and all the other nations of the earth. Now, circumcision is very popular today for health reasons and so forth, but back in those days, it was not. God is the one that instituted this. And what God did is God made a physical distinction between His people, Israel, and all the heathen, pagan, Gentile nations that surrounded them. God said, I'm going to give you a sign of the covenant, the promise that I'm making to you. And the sign of that covenant will be that of circumcision. And it's going to create a physical distinction between you and these other heathen nations. And I want you to notice with me here up at the screen, Luke 2:21. Because Christ, Jesus Christ, was born of Jewish parents. He was born under the law, the Bible says. So what did they do with Christ? Notice it says, and when 8 days were accomplished, notice, for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Circumcision was the physical sign of the division between the Jews, Israel, and all the other nations around them. Now, in your handout, I want you to get a statement. It says, the covenant of circumcision built a wall between Israel and the other Gentile nations. So this covenant of circumcision, it built a wall, see? This physical distinction brought spiritual ramifications. I want you to look with me again at Genesis 17. And I want you to notice the seriousness of this. How that this issue was not just a physical issue. It brought spiritual ramifications. Look at Genesis 17, 14. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be what? Cut off from his people. He hath broken my what, church? Covenant. Now go back to Ephesians 2. Keep your bookmarker in Genesis, because we're going to go back there. But go back to Ephesians. And look at chapter 2 and verse 12. Notice the spiritual ramifications that this wall of circumcision brought to the Gentiles. Look at Ephesians 2:12. That at that time you were without Christ. Notice the Gentile nations, the uncircumcision, were without Christ. What else were they? They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. They were strangers from the covenants of promise. Notice, having what? No hope. And without God in the world. Would you agree with me that the wall of circumcision had great spiritual implications for the Gentiles? Yes or no? Great implications. Okay? It had great consequences. Listen to me. Israel, the nation of Israel, had great spiritual privilege that the Gentile nations did not have. So in your handout, I'm going to explain why in a moment. But in your handout, it says, in time past, God dealt with humanity on the basis of a distinction between Israel, the circumcision, and the Gentiles, the uncircumcision. So, look, listen closely. Whenever you're studying your Bible, and there's a distinction being made, okay, and God is dealing with the nation of Israel as a nation, then you know what? You know you're in time past. You know that you're dealing with something that is time past. Okay? See, how do I know that? Because that's exactly how the Bible defined it in Ephesians 2, 11 and 12. So when we're studying our Bible, and the nation of Israel is the issue, and there is a distinction there between Israel as a nation and the other nation, then you know you're dealing with God's time past program. All right? Now, let me explain something. I think I need to do this. It was not that God was unconcerned with the rest of the world. Because some of you may be thinking, well, man, I mean, so Israel's this favored nation, and they got all these spiritual privileges, and I guess God just didn't love all the other nations. Well, here's what you need to understand, is that God had a plan to reach these Gentile nations. It wasn't that God was unconcerned with them. You see, the Gentile nations, they had been given over to a reprobate mind. The Gentile nations had long forsaken and rebelled against God. The Gentile nations had chosen idolatry. They had chosen a heathen lifestyle. They had chosen wicked, idolatrous, and corrupt practices. The world lied in wickedness. It wasn't that God was unconcerned with them. Here's the deal. The Gentile nations would receive a knowledge of God, and they would receive blessing through Abraham's seed, the nation of Israel. And listen, here you got this nation, and as Israel served the true God, as they worshiped the true God, as they exalted, as we sung tonight, be exalted, O God, as Israel exalted God, then the other Gentile nations would then see that, they would see the physical blessings of God on that nation because of their worship of the true Jehovah God, and Israel, from Israel would come forth God's blessings, and they would end up flowing then to all the other nations. I'll show you. Look at Genesis 22. Keep your bookmarker in Ephesians 2. And we're kind of going back and forth. Genesis 22. And look at verse 17. Let me show you here how the plan was from Israel. They would bless the nations. Look at Genesis 22. Verse 17. Again, God tells Abraham that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed, of course, we know that the nation of Israel is the seed that came. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be what? Blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, I don't have time to turn there, but in the book of Isaiah, God, in Isaiah 60, God talks about how when the light of God's glory arises upon Israel, how all the Gentiles are going to come to that light, and how Israel is going to be a blessing to all the other nations of the earth. In fact, you remember when I said that the knowledge and the salvation of God would flow through Israel. Now get this, the knowledge and the salvation of God would flow through that chosen nation, the nation of Israel. Remember when Jesus encountered the woman at the well? You remember what he told her? He said, "For salvation is of the Jews." That's what he told the woman at the well. How about that, Brother Larry? He said, "For salvation is of the Jews." Salvation and blessing were to flow from Israel to the nations. That's the time past program. And in your handout, get this statement. There was a middle wall of partition between Israel and the nations that was erected through circumcision and the law of Moses. Look with me at Ephesians 2. Go back there. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 14. Ephesians 2, 14. "For he," Christ, "is our peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one." And notice this, "hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." Circumcision was the seal of the covenant which built a wall between Israel and the Gentile nations. The law of Moses came along later and fortified that wall even stronger. You say, well, why did God create a wall between Israel and the nations? It was to protect the people of God. It was to protect them from the idolatry and the heathen practices of the Gentiles so that the knowledge of God could flow to the nations. And if Israel blended in with the nations, those heathen nations, how could they be the light and the testimony to the true God that they were supposed to be? So, look up here and I'll give you quickly the synopsis. When you're reading your Bible, okay, and God is dealing with the world on the basis of His relationship with Israel, you know you're in the time past program. So let's move on. Let's go to the but now, okay? And it says in your handout that the Bible's quite clear that God's dealings with mankind have changed today. Look with me at verse 13. Ephesians 2:13. "But now," say it with me, "but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now, question, did it say, "Now, you Gentiles, now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by Israel"? Is that what it said? No, it said we've been made near, not by Israel. That was the time past program. That was the plan. Okay? But he says here, but now. So present tense, you're not brought to God through the nation of Israel. He said you've been brought near to God. How? Through what? Through the blood of Christ. So things have changed today. I want to give you a few statements. Okay? Number one, the middle wall of partition between Israel and the Gentiles has been broken down. It's no longer there. Okay? Verse 14. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Turn your hand out over, and let's get the next statement. The Jew today, we're in the but now. We're in the present tense. The but now. The Jew no longer enjoys a favored status in the eyes of God. So today the Jew is just like anybody else. Now you hear a lot of, sometimes you'll get missionaries and stuff that come across with some very unbiblical things. And I thank God for our missionaries that are going to Israel. Thank God for any missionaries that we can get in there and they can give the Jews the gospel. But sometimes you almost get the idea when you talk to some Jewish missionaries, like they've got a little higher calling than all the rest of us because they're going to the Jews, you know. And that they've kind of got this favored status in the eyes of God. They've kind of got extra brownie points because they're going after, you know, they're going to the Jews. And so, you know, that they've got, and the Jews have this favored status, and so therefore, you know, it's they've got this favored status kind of that we should be your first missionary because we're going to the Jews. Well, here's what you need to understand. The Jew no longer enjoys a favored status in the eyes of God. Look with me at verse 15. It says that Christ abolished in his flesh the enmity, okay, that wall of partition that separated us. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two, one new man, so making peace. You know what Paul said over in Romans? He said there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. He said there is no difference. No difference. I want to say it again. No difference. Sometimes people ask me, well, how does a Jew get saved today? You know, and they're like all kind of freaked out. How does a Jew get saved? I know about Gentiles, but what about Jews? And you know what I tell them? A Jew's got to get saved just like a Gentile today. A Jew gets, you see, the Jews have been cut off. Just like the Gentile nations were cut off and alienated, now the Jews have been cut off in this time period. And now they must come as a heathen Gentile, as one that's been cut off. They have to come the same way we did, just like we're made near by the blood of Christ. Guess what? Any Jew who wants to be saved, they're made near by the blood of Christ too. Are you with me? So there's no difference, Paul said, between the Jew and the Gentile. We're all on equal footing. Okay, the ground is level now. There's no favored status for the Jew. We're all equal. Now, look with me. I just gave you the third thing. Go ahead and write that in there. Jews and Gentiles stand before God on an absolute what? Equal basis. That's right. They stand before God on an absolute equal basis. Look with me at Ephesians 2:16. Ephesians 2:16. It says, "In that He, God, might reconcile both," that's Jew and Gentile, "He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and," notice this, "came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh." So, absolute equal basis. Let me give you the next thing in your handout. In the time period that we live in today, Jew or Gentile individuals can be reconciled to God through personal faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I want you to look with me at verse 13 again. It says, "Now in Christ Jesus, ye," now he's speaking there to the Gentiles, "ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the" what? "Blood of Christ." But then look at verse 14. "For he is our peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one." A Jew or Gentile can be saved today and reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. I just got off the phone tonight with a lady that called me up on the phone. She heard of me through a friend of mine, okay, former neighbor, Robin. And she called me, and she was asking me some questions concerning some religious ceremonies and wondering if we did these religious ceremonies and would we do these religious ceremonies upon her baby. And so I got into a discussion with her, and this girl didn't know anything, okay? I mean, but I got into a discussion with her about this thing of religious externals. And I said, let me tell you something. God is not impressed with religious externals. I said, God looks at your heart. And I said, it doesn't matter what you do externally or what you do to that child externally. I said, what matters is God looks at your heart. And I said, let me tell you something. I told her, I said on the phone, I said, now you can do whatever you want to do. I said, that's your choice. And I said, that's your decision and you can do whatever you want. I said, but what God is concerned with is that your heart is fully resting in His Son, Jesus Christ. That you're trusting His Son. And I said, when your child grows up, what concerns God is whether or not your child will trust Christ as his Savior. You know, by the time I got off the phone with that lady, she was one relieved woman. She, in literally a 10-minute, 15-minute conversation, I freed her from the religious bondage that she was in. See, she had had this religious ceremony done on her as a child. Okay? But left that church and wanted nothing to do with it, but yet religion had her in bondage thinking she had to do it to her child. She had to do it to her child or something wouldn't be right. You know, and so she was living in the bondage of scrambling around trying to find a church who will do this religious external ceremony on her child. And she's just in bondage, just all worked up over it. And she said, so then what you're saying is that God sees our heart and that He's not concerned about what a piece of paper says. I said, you got it. You got it. She said, thank you so much. She said, oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Did you know that Jew or Gentile, either one, did you know they need to hear that message right there? That religion cannot save you. There is a finished and completed work for sin, and it's called the cross. And the cross is able to save anybody. I don't care if you're Jew. I don't care if you're Gentile, American, Mexican, Russian, Arab. If you're a Jew, I don't care who you are. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. In your handout, Jew and Gentile believers are brought into a spiritual union today called the body of Christ. And both enjoy equal privilege and access before God. Look with me at verse 18, Ephesians 2:18. For through Him, through Christ, notice this, through Christ, not through the priest, not through the pastor, not through the minister, not through anybody else, through Him, through Christ, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit. And who do we have access to? The Father, God the Father. Now, I just don't know how much, I don't have a lot of time. I'll just say this real quickly. You say, why in the world did God change programs? Why did He have this time past program where God was going to bless the nations through Israel? Why all of a sudden did He change and now everybody's on equal footing and now God's not dealing with the world through Israel and we don't have to go through Israel and we don't have to worry about all that? Why is it that everything's changed today? And I can basically tell you there's two reasons. And that is, number one, Israel's fall. Israel rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ, and chose not to be the blessing that God intended them to be. And Paul talks about Israel's fall. You can read about it in Romans 11. And you know what else you'll read in Romans 11? The second reason why God's offering this unprecedented grace today, it's His grace and His mercy. Because of Israel's fall and because of God's grace is why this change has taken place today. And God is offering salvation to the world. In your handout, it says the but now time period that we're enjoying today is called, everybody say it together, the dispensation of the grace of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll show it to you, verse 2. Paul said in Ephesians 3, 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward. All that means, by the way, dispensation, what verb do you think would come out of dispensation? Dispense. You know what God's dispensing today? Somebody tell me, what's He dispensing? Yeah, say it louder. What's He dispensing?
Grace.
God is freely dispensing His grace, Pastor Larry, to all people, Jew and Gentile alike. God is freely dispensing grace today. And this time period that we're living in, this time of grace, it was kept secret in time past until God revealed it first through Paul, and then God used Paul to reveal it to others. And then finally, we come to the last thing in your handout, and that's the ages to come. And in your handout, I want you to get this statement. This dispensation of grace that we're living in right now, it will not last forever. One day it's going to come to an end. And you know what's going to happen when it ends? All of those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, not religion, not joined the church, not those that got baptized, not those who went through a religious ceremony, all of those who have been saved, they've put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ and His finished work. They compose that one body that we talked about. And the Jews and Gentiles that form that one body is going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I wish, well, I'll bring it up real quick. I think I got time. Bring it up real quick. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's go to the next slide, please. 1 Thessalonians 4. Notice it says, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead, and notice the next two words, the dead what? In Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? Well, those that are dead, those who have passed away before this catching up, the Bible says the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. And then it says, then we which are alive and remain, if we're alive when the Lord comes, we're going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is when the but now will end. Okay? The but now time period, the thing we just described up there, that will end. You say, and you know what that initiates? Once we're raptured out, once we're caught up, you know what that initiates? The ages to come. The ages to come. See, now we're looking beyond the time of grace. Now we're looking to the, as he says in verse 7, go back to Ephesians 2, 7, that in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So, question for you tonight, church. When we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, when we're caught up in the heavens, when we occupy our position in heaven, what's going to become of the earth in the ages to come? In your handout, it says, the nation of Israel will once again become the focus of this earth. Israel will encounter a seven-year purging called the time of Jacob's trouble. So there'll be a seven-year purging of Israel after we're caught out in the ages to come. After this, it says in your handout, Christ will return to this earth and will rule and reign as Israel's Messiah and King. When Christ comes back after those 7 years, and He returns to the earth, Israel will finally become the blessing to all the nations that God intended originally for them to be and promised that they would be. Romans 11, 25 through 27 will explain that to you. In your handout, I'll give you the last two statements. In the ages to come, Christ will become the focus of everything. Christ will be glorified in the heavens through His body, the church. That's us. That's the but now. Christ will be glorified on earth through His chosen vessel, Israel. Real quickly, I want to do two things. I want you to just look up here, and I want to bring up the chart, okay? Here is the time past, okay? Gentile nations are given over to idolatry. God establishes a covenant with Israel. They have the hope of a redeemer. God gives them his word through Moses. And there's this covenant in time past with Israel. God is dealing with the world through Israel. God's going to give the knowledge of himself through Israel. God's going to provide salvation through Israel. God's going to do all these things to the world through Israel. That's time past program. So whenever you read in your Bible, and Israel as a nation is the issue, you know you're in time past. But now, let's go to the next click. Here we are, we're living in this time period. Paul says, but now, okay, so things have changed. Grace and reconciliation is available to all through Christ. The world is enjoying a grace period now, okay? Once we're caught up, let's go to the next click. That's going to bring in the ages to come. Here's the 7-year purging. Here's the return of Christ to the earth. And Israel will at last be the blessing on the earth to all nations. Now, one other thing I want to do, I was hoping I'd have time, go to your index of your Bible. I want to show you how even the books of your Bible are laid out according to this wonderful divine outline that God gave Paul in Ephesians 2. The books of your Bible are laid out according to that outline that God gave Paul. Look with me at the books of your Bible. And if you want to, you can write in at the top of Genesis there, you can write in time past. And you can extend an arrow all the way through your Old Testament books. Okay? All the way through. You can do time past and extend the arrow. But then this may surprise you. Okay? And we'll talk more about this maybe next week. The time past arrow needs to also extend all the way down there to where it says Acts. Okay? Because Israel is still the issue in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in much of Acts. God is still dealing with the world through Israel in those books. So extend time past all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And then Acts is going to give us the transition from time past to but now. So right in next to the book of Romans, but now. These are books that are dealing with the time period that we're living in today. And then I want you to extend the arrow from Romans all the way down through that book, Philemon. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. So put but now next to Romans and then extend the arrow down to Philemon. Then I want you to write in ages to come and next to Hebrews. Isn't that interesting? That after Paul's book, after his 13 books that Paul writes to us today, then the very next book is Hebrews, which is another word for Israel, for Jews. God's going to begin dealing with them again. And after you write in next to Hebrews, ages to come, extend the arrow all the way down through Revelation. So isn't it neat that even your Bible is laid out according to that threefold outline? That's amazing to me. God has laid out the Bible for you in a very easy to understand way. And you know, when I teach this stuff, you know, one of the things that my prayer is, I just want you to not be afraid of the Bible. Okay? You need to understand this is a practical book. God will explain to you how to read it, how to study it, how to rightly divide it. And God even laid out the books for you. Can you imagine if the first book of your Bible was Romans? And then the next book was Hosea? And then the next book was Matthew? And then the next book was Revelation? And then the next book was Exodus? I mean, can you imagine if the Bible was laid out in a helter-skelter way like that? It's not. It's not. It's laid out for you time past, then you come to Paul and Roman, but now, and then boom, Hebrews, and then you got ages to come. And these books are dealing with the Jews in the last days and the earth in the last days. All right, next week I think we'll get into some more. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we will all just love your word, seek to understand your word, and rightly divide your word. Lord, thank you for this divine outline that you gave Paul. And Lord, I pray, Father, that we will really appreciate the time period that we live in today.